So I was waking up in the morning, like, you know, physically shaking, thinking, I don't know how I'm going to survive, you know, day to day. So I actually had to end up, you know, living back with my parents. Yeah. And I guess that was sort of my rock bottom. At the same time, you know, I broke up with a boyfriend who I felt was like a soulmate at the time, but I had to let him go because we kind of just were at a point where it wasn't working anymore. So everything kind of went and I was right back at square one. And again, at the time, you're like, this is the worst. But now looking back, I realised that was the point where I decided that I was going to change my life.
Hey everyone, welcome back to our podcast for Soul's Sake, in which we aim to give you candid conversation on spirituality and holistic wellness. Thank you so, so much for joining us to listen, learn and grow every single episode. Today we've got a wonderful guest, one who I genuinely admire. She's got the voice of an angel. She's amazing in all aspects, sound healing, and I can't wait for you to listen to all things Holly Hustler. Holly is an inspirational sound healer, musician, a yoga teacher based in London, and the founder of her online community, Sound Sisters Community. Dedicated to helping women across the world reconnect with their very own magic, Holly's fascination with music and healing has led her to now run numerous workshops and immersive sound healing sessions, not to mention release her latest album, Luminous Shadow. Thank you so much, Holly. It's an honor and privilege to have you here. Thank you so much for being here and for taking the time. You drove all the way from Surrey to be here with your son, and I'm really appreciative of your time.
Honestly, it's an honor to have to be on the podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a blessing. Thank you. We'll jump straight in. Sound healing. Where did that start?
Oh, how long have we got?
We've got time.
Where did that start? So I guess I always sort of go back to when I was in a girl band.
Oh,
probably about 10 years
that
ago.
That missed
now.
The introduction. That was not there.
I know. Yeah, I sort of cut that out.
Okay.
The bio, so I don't know how cool it is. I'm just going to go back there. So yeah, about 10 years ago now, I was in a very cheesy pop girl band,
wow.
Which started after I had one of those, you know, mid-20s crisis and wondering what I was going to do with my life. And, you know, it all ends up working out the way it's supposed to, doesn't it? But when
it
you're
does.
Kind of early 20s, you're sort of, you go into that panic mode a little bit, I find. So I'd actually done half a PGCE to be a secondary school English teacher. Oh, but it wasn't for me. I just was in the school watching kids like throw pencils at each other. And I was just like, no, I'm out. I can't do this. It's not my calling in life. So long story short, ended up going traveling around the world. And I got back and I thought, what am I actually doing? You know, you just sort of, I was running away, I guess, to escape, you know, issues at home and all sorts of things. Thought, right, time to actually focus on what I want to do with my life. And I remember sitting in my bedroom at my parents' house at the time. I must have been 22, I think. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, what would be, you know, if I could do anything in the whole world, what would it be? And I thought, just dream big, just for a second, just dream big and type it into Google. And I thought, I've always dreamed of being in a girl band. So I literally just typed in girl band auditions.
Wow.
And yeah, the first thing that came up was it was like a Star Now audition, you know, that website Star Now, I'm not sure if it still exists. Up and coming girl band, we're looking for the last member, auditions finish tomorrow, looking for someone blonde, preferably 19 to 24, preferably around 5'5".
Check.
Exactly.
Check.
And I was like, and at the time I wasn't into spirituality, meant to be nothing like that at all. I just thought I was kind of, you know, plodding through life and stuff was happening to me. But for the first time, I really thought, you know what, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this part in the girl band. And I just sort of saw it all out in front of me. And I had a boyfriend at the time. We were supposed to be going to New Zealand the following week to do a ski season, everything all paid for and booked. But I just knew that my life was going to change and I was going to be in this band.
Wow.
So I went to the auditions. And again, long story short, I got the part and me and the girls really got on very well. My music stopped playing halfway through, so I had to do the whole audition a cappella, but it worked out in my favour because I think it was better that way.
Made you sound better.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I got the part in the girl band. So for 3 years, that was my life. And, you know, we were doing some really, well, my coolest thing, I don't know if it's cool or not, is we supported Westlife at the O2 Arena.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really
cool.
It is cool, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, good. And I always loved Westlife.
Yeah.
You know? So that was amazing for me. That was kind of the peak. And we did lots of, you know, schools tours and going around the country and, you know, recording.
I'm singing Westlife in my mind right now.
Oh, so good. They're amazing.
What song was it that you went on for?
What's that?
You did a whole set with them? Or?
Oh, no, God, I wish we actually did it with them. No, we were just like the support act. But I was up there, you know, pretending that we were the main act, that all those 20,000 people were there for us. Yeah, we were supporting them.
Beautiful.
Which was really cool, yeah. Yeah, you know, like a typical day was going to the studio in my onesie to record, you know, songs and things like that, which it was a dream come true. And the best bit was... all the girls became my best friends and, you know, they're my bridesmaids. And so there was no kind of bitchiness or anything like that. We just had an amazing time. But very naturally it came to an end because I guess we sort of, you know, when you know something's going to kind of happen and something's not. And I actually think I knew from the beginning we were never going to be big and famous, you know, in the conventional sense. But that was never really kind of my ambition either. I just wanted to do what I loved, which was to sing and to... I guess, perform to an extent. But I suppose what I realised on the journey was, yes, I was living my dream and it was absolutely incredible in so many ways. But there was always a part of me, because I'd not been doing any inner work or any self-inquiry or anything like that by that point. Always had had a boyfriend, one after the other. Makes me sound a bit bad, but that was just the way it was. So I guess everything at that point was very externally focused, and it was very much... here are the lyrics that we want you to sing. Here are the clothes we want you to wear. Here are the dance moves we want you to perform. And my manager actually said right at the beginning, just remember that this is a business. And it was, we were a product. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was not loads of room for creativity and to feel soul aligned, as it were. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, like there were moments where I was standing on stage, I was like, I am living the life.
Right.
But there was always a little bit of a disconnect, and that always that feeling. I think my theory is everyone, not everyone, but most people come into this world wanting to make it a bit of a better place.
Yeah.
And for me, I didn't really feel like I was doing that. I just felt like I was kind of...
So there wasn't that inner fulfillment?
Not really. And it's weird because you, on the outside, it looks amazing.
Right.
On the inside, it's like there's that kind of slight disconnect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, sorry, did you want
to... Yeah, no. I was just going to say that it's just so interesting because... So many people that have come on this podcast have said something similar about finding inner fulfillment in what they do and not just being an external success. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, like, is there a way in which we can prevent people? Or do you think people need to go through that experience of being an external success and then realizing it's not about that?
Yeah, I really do, actually.
Okay.
But you don't know it at the time, do you? And I kind of think we come to this earth to forget so that we can learn how to remember again through the experiences that we have in life. But you don't know that when you're younger, do you? You just have to go through the things.
Yeah.
So
I almost wish that someone listening who's young to this podcast would just listen to these words.
Yeah.
It's not about external success.
Yeah.
It's about inner fulfillment.
Yeah,
and then find that, search for that.
Yeah, and then that is success, isn't it?
That
because
is success.
We're taught that success is one thing. It's about getting to the top and having all the shiny things and having all the money and this and that. But success is actually such a personal, unique thing, isn't it? And I think what it is for me is inner fulfillment, soul alignment, simple things really, just love, joy, inner peace. That's success to me. But looping back to how sound healing came into play, when the girl band split up, I sort of went through a bit of a tricky time because I felt like my dreams had come crashing down. It ended up with a bit of a bad taste between the managers and ourselves, but won't go into that now. But it meant that all my money and income was gone. So I was completely broke as well.
Holy crap.
In London, and you know how expensive it is to live in London. So I was waking up in the morning, like, you know, physically shaking, thinking, I don't know how I'm going to survive, you know, day to day. So I actually had to end up, you know, living back with my parents.
Yeah.
And I guess that was sort of my rock bottom. At the same time, you know, I broke up with a boyfriend who I felt was like a soulmate at the time, but I had to let him go because we kind of just were at a point where it wasn't working anymore. So everything kind of went, and I was right back at square one. And again, at the time, you're like, this is the worst. But now looking back, I realised that was the point where I decided that I was going to change my life. And I finally had space, you know, no boyfriend, no job, no money. I finally had sort of space to do that inner work and go inside. Which started with a bit of meditation on a pillow in my parents' house, you know, my bedroom upstairs.
Guided or something you just...
Yeah, YouTube. I thought, I know, I've heard this meditation thing is really good for you, so I'm just going to, you know, get cracking with it.
Yeah.
And quite quickly, my life did actually turn around and I discovered yoga, and that became like my new boyfriend. I was addicted to the mat and... because I was always a dancer as well. So I thought, I'm going to be, you know, ego comes in, I'm going to be amazing. I'm going to have the front row. I'm going to be in splits. I'm going to be great at this. But then very quickly, you realize it is so not about that. You know, it is your four-cornered island where you actually get to breathe yourself back to who you really are at the core.
Wow.
That's how I, you know, experienced it after a while. And because I was teaching things like Zumba and bar, and I sort of, I was doing that alongside the girl band just to up my income a little bit. And I went back to that, which again, very externally focused and not really about helping people to connect with, you know, the truth of who they are, etc. Yeah. Yoga did that for me. And I thought, well, I'm teaching anyway. I'd love to, you know, start teaching yoga and help people the way that I feel this practice has helped me. So did the training, and then not to make it a really long-winded story, but yoga basically bridged me to sound healing, because obviously it's in the yoga sphere. I saw a poster one day with these beautiful crystal bowls on the poster, and I thought, oh, they're pretty. Was initially, it was just aesthetics. Yeah. I was like, beautiful bowls. Wow. And the lady who was running the session, I was just sort of really drawn to her energy, and it spoke about sound and healing. And I thought, wow, like this is kind of bridging me back to music, but without sort of knowing it at the time, I suppose. But I went to a session, and it's hard to put into words. It is just a bath of sounds, of beautiful healing sounds. You lie down and you feel these vibrations just wash over you and through you. And you know, the experience itself was so incredible and relaxing and peaceful, but it was also the following day that I felt so clear, so at peace with myself. You know, I hadn't felt that way for such a long time. Wow. It was almost like a reset button had been pushed. And I thought, I have to bring this into what I do in my yoga classes. And so fast forward 5 years, that was 5 years ago. Now I'm leading trainings, and I've incorporated sound healing into recording music and just helping people to, yeah, that's really the essence of what it is for me. It's really nuanced in some ways, and very magical and scientific, but also I think the core is so simple. Mm. It's just a pathway back to love and back home to yourself.
Wow.
So now I'm doing music, but in a way that feels so much more aligned with my soul, in a way that I can really help make the world a better place.
Wow. That opening just, I don't know whether it's because you've spoken your introduction many a time, but just it brought out your personality in a way that it kind of all the pre-podcast jitters of having a conversation, it just washed away. Because I was just like, wow, I mean, I don't know whether this is true, and maybe you're just really good at it. But I felt as though this is just someone speaking their truth, speaking their honest dharma, that they feel that they're centered. You just get this, I don't know, I'm looking at my audio editor, Kaylee here. She's got a nice centering, you know, presence. No, it's an atmosphere which is really, really beautiful. And
I'll give you a little tip if you want.
Yeah.
This might help the listener as well.
Go on.
Because I'll be honest, because I am all about speaking truth, because I think everyone is craving more authenticity
100%.
In the world. I do get nervous before everything. I do. I feel like I'm a confident, centered person, but there's definitely an air of nervousness before I start podcasts, before I sing. Every single time my voice will shake and I'll get annoyed with myself, but I'm a human as well, you know.
Yeah.
So something that I do is I call it a little toilet top up. Pop to the toilet just before, and I close my eyes and I just take three really deep breaths, and I say, I am in my center, I am in my power, I am in my truth. And I just really feel into that affirmation, and something takes over and it allows me to just be in my center rather than in my head. So it's a good tip if anyone does this kind of stuff. It does help just to take a moment before, just to get yourself centered. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. I think that's very much necessary. In fact, if you were listening to that, I want you to rewind 30 seconds, take a breath, and just maybe repeat those three affirmations again. I am
in my power, I am in my center, I am in my truth. And you sort of want to focus that into your heart and into your center. And you can do that before, you know, you have a job interview, or even before you see someone that you don't really like and you're having a dreaded conversation. You
oh,
can
crap.
Use it.
She doesn't really like me.
Yeah, you can use it whenever.
Yeah. Wow. You spoke some buzzwords, spirituality. I heard you speak about soul. Define those things for me. The spirituality. I know. We're getting into it.
In the deep end.
I know. It's gonna be fun.
I do like a deep dive, though.
Me too.
I am the person that on Monday morning will voice note my friend about spirituality and all the deep stuff, and then I have to say sorry. So I'm like, sorry, it's Monday.
No. The thing is, like, if we don't do it with our nearest and dearest, who are we going to do it
with?
Well,
exactly. You know? Yeah.
What's the point of just going through a life which is just about accumulating zeros in a bank account and just about accumulating the number of friends on Instagram?
I love that.
What's the point of just being externally situated soul? And when are we going to get the opportunity to speak about, the soul, spirituality. And if you're not going to do it with your closest, then who are you going to do it with?
No. Well, exactly, yeah. And I love chatting about this kind of stuff. So this is lighting me up. So, oh gosh, what is spirituality and what is soul? Questions that I've sat with many times. Yeah. And I think the first thing that's coming up is I don't know if it's really static. I maybe, depending on where you're at on your journey, those words will feel different and look different for you, depending on where you're at. So for an example, spirituality for me, if you'd asked me maybe 10 years ago, might have been all Christianity and, you know, believing in a man in the sky with a white beard and no, not for me. And kind of I'd run away from the word. Because I guess the way, and you know, I was brought up in a Christian household, but no one really practiced Christianity. It was just a label. Yeah, very much. It was just a case of this is how we've all been brought up. But the extent of it was we'd go to church on Christmas Eve and have the finger puppets of Jesus and stuff like that. And I love
everyone
that.
Loves a good finger puppet. Yeah.
That was the, you know, the extent. But I never quite connected with the idea of a man in the sky who, and I'm not saying this isn't true for some people because it will be for some, but for me, I never connected with that idea. You know, when something in your heart doesn't quite click. So, you know, sometimes I would pray, you know, if I was upset and I was a child and I'd think, oh, maybe there is a God and I can ask this or that, but it was just always that slight, you know, disconnect. So I just parked it and I just made my own way in life and just never sort of was involved in anything to do with that kind of stuff. Until that point when I came back home to my parents and started meditating and practicing yoga. And that's when I started getting an idea of what spirituality meant for me. And it was not connected to religion in the sense of this is what you must believe in and this is truth, you know, dogmatic.
You know, something interesting about this is that I was just literally, I gave a session maybe 2 or 3 days ago at a retreat.
Yeah.
And we spoke about the word religion. And the etymology, the source of that word, religion, is religio, which means to bind, to connect.
Okay, like and yoga, to yoga.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the tragedy of the point. The tragedy is that I think that we've kind of, because of the stigma and because of the trauma attached with ritualistic religion and person in the sky, I think we've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater. You know, the baby being God and the bathwater being all the ritualistic stuff. Yeah, fine. You can throw away all the quote unquote stereotype religious stuff. But then what my feeling on it is that why are we throwing the baby out with the bathwater? Like, does God have to be this or this? Or can God or divinity or the absolute truth, whatever that is, the universe, however you want to call it, can it not be this and this? So man in the sky, great, that's for you.
Yeah.
But also, can it not also be and this?
Yeah.
You know, rather than saying, no, we're separate because I believe something differently to you.
Yeah.
My whole perspective on this is that it's this and this. Like, why can't God be all of those things? Divinity be all of those things? Like, nearer than near, but then also up in the sky. And at the same time, in every animate and inanimate object.
Yeah, in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, why can't everyone just accept everyone's beliefs? This is what I don't understand. Like, most wars are based on religion and people not believing what, you know, people want them to believe. But how boring would the world be if everyone was the same and believed the same thing? Why can't we all just be our own colour and own musical note and believe to believe? It just adds colour to the tapestry of life, doesn't it?
I like how you said everyone can be their own musical colour.
Yeah, it's because I'm a sound healer. Everything's like music. And, you know, for me, like, actually, God is probably music as well, because music is, maybe it's a bit of a tangent, but it kind of feels right as well. Music is, I guess, in the modern day sense, is kind of structured, organized notes and rhythms. And it's, mostly the intention is it wants to uplift you and for you to feel good, mostly, or to evoke a certain emotion. But then there's also sound, which is it's like disorganized music, and it's just sort of these waves of life, and that can be like frequencies of love and joy, and to me that's kind of it's music but in a different way. I feel like I've gone off on such a tangent.
That's
there,
fine, but it just I'm into it.
Kind of felt like the right thing to say.
And with your own, because you're speaking about sound and that being your connection to divinity and that being God for you, because you share so much, like, it's unreal. Like, I've seen some of your live things that you've done on Instagram. I sometimes watch them and just like, maybe I should do this. Oh, no, I'm too busy. No, I should do this. But I just see how much output that you've given the world. Do you have a personal practice as well? Like, is it something that you do away from the camera? Because that's something I ask all yoga teachers as well. Like, do you really practice yoga outside of the class? Do you believe in, or is it just a business for you?
So,
and if it is, that's fine as well.
Well, I will always be honest, and I go through phases, and I think it is a classic well-being entrepreneur type person who wants to do so much good and gets into the thing that they love because they want to help change the world, but then they realize they're putting so much effort into all the giving that they forget to have the time for themselves to do these things. So I am constantly saying to myself, oh my god, I need to make time to do the thing that I love and the reason why I got into it in the first place, which is lying down just receiving the sound healing. And you know, I've had a meditation practice for the last maybe 8 years now, but having a baby in the last 5 months has kind of changed that. But I also say that he's an amazing meditation practice as well, because meditation for me, it's ironic really, because you have a practice, and I do think there's an importance in having a time where you sit and you meditate. It's like the commitment to show up is the thing that sort of makes the changes and the shifts, I think. So I haven't been able to do that. But meditation also is about being present and about not pushing your thoughts away, but at least just being with your thoughts and being present with what's coming up for you. Whereas, you know, for all 7-8 years that I've been meditating, there's probably not been one occasion where I haven't had a thought where I've been completely present. I'm always thinking about, oh, how can I put this into my business and this, you know, that's just my mind. But it's a practice. But having my son, Sonny, he commands so much presence that he's like a momentary meditation practice in himself. And actually what I found is I'm feeling a little bit more intuitive and more insightful, even though I'm sleep deprived. Maybe that plays a part in it. Who knows?
I think it does.
Yeah.
You let your guard down when you're tired, you know?
Yeah.
It's the point of being fake.
It's almost like he's like my little piece of the divine on the outside. Yeah.
Something my wife also does is that she was told by our spiritual teacher, our guide, that for the next however many months, years you need, that's your sadhana, that's your practice.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about, and I think that's something that maybe we can speak about, is being a new parent and exploring spirituality at the same time, or even making your upbringing of your children spiritual, or making it somehow your, making a holistic upbringing. Do you vibe with what I'm saying, or am I just chatting a load of breeze?
Yeah, no, not at all. It's something me and Adam have chatted about.
Yeah.
Because Adam and I view the world differently.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and that's still beautiful.
Yeah, it is. But at first, I honestly had a bit of an issue with it, because I thought he was really gorgeous. And I was like, oh, definitely I'm going on a date with him. I was the one that actually messaged him after a yoga class, and we made it happen. I was thinking, oh, great, like a yoga teacher, we're going to be able to talk about angels and spirituality and the universe and stuff. And I think our first date, we were chatting about the different books we were reading.
Right.
And he told me what he was reading, and I was all excited. I said, oh, I'm reading Gabby Bernstein's The Universe Has Your Back. And he just went, oh, for God's sake. Because he's so, you know, he's quite black and white, quite scientific, and, you know, and we spoke about your stoic. And I think at first I was judgy, and I thought, wow, he's not spiritual. And how are we going to make this work? Because, you know, I'm this way and he's another way. But actually what I've realised with Adam is, and you know, you're chatting to him as well, he is spiritual, but he has a different word for it, and he uses different language and he views the world in a different way. But it doesn't mean that he's not sort of, you know, deeply connected in some things he says. I think, wow, you're actually really quite an intuitive person, but the way we speak about it will be different in our heads.
And this is the whole point of the whole this and this, like, it can be both.
Well, yeah, that's it.
And I think that sometimes we get so hung up on it being different and not being the same way that we fail to see the beauty in our unity and diversity. Like, it's totally fine. Like, I don't have a problem with someone not being a bhakti yogi and not being a practitioner of bhakti yoga. Like, that's totally cool with me. I'm not here to try and convert people. I think that the central theme of, like, anyone who's spiritual who wants to share that with others is that accepting people as they are and not how you want them to be.
Exactly.
And I think people value that. People really are. You can almost tell when you walk into, like, a kirtan or a sound healing session, and this person is trying to convert you into their way of thought as opposed to just sharing the practice and saying, come as you are, leave as you are, no problem.
And also that you can learn so much from someone who believes something else as well.
Yeah, I think so.
People are terrified of believing something different because that's so much a part of their identity and who they are.
Right.
But I think one of the most intelligent things you can say in the world is, I don't know. and I'm open to change, and I'm open to changing my views. And and sort of looping back round to what you were asking about, what is spirituality for me right now, it's as simple as it's just love. It's just connecting back to love. And that for me, because so much can't be explained in words, but if I could put it into a tiny nutshell, I'd say that would be my anchor. You know, if I ever feel a bit lost, you know, what's my spiritual practice? Just, am I acting from a place of love or fear? Because I think they're always the choices in every single situation. You can That's either powerful. Act from love or from fear, which is ego, anger, you know, upset, whatever, childhood traumas. But just if you can always sort of gear yourself back to that, you know, come from the heart, that for me, that connection to love is God. And spirituality, and then what you were saying about parenting, I think Adam and I would probably agree on that. Really, what we want for Sonny is for him to be a kind person and to be a loving person, and you know, we'll guide him in the best way that we can, but ultimately we would never say, right, you must believe in this, you must believe in that. I'm not going to be saying angels do exist, even though I do believe they do. And maybe I will at night time, just keep whispering it to him.
You never know.
You know, and Adam won't be forcing his beliefs either. We'll just, you know, share our beliefs and see where he goes, and then and support him in that. But as long as there's kindness and love at the core.
It's definitely hard, I'll tell you from experience.
Well, yeah, what about you then?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's definitely hard because my son is now 2 years old, two and a bit, and he'll see me doing kirtan and he'll jump on the harmonium with me.
Oh, sweet.
And it's nice and it's sweet and it's cute. And then at the same time, I'm like, am I converting my child? Like, I can never tell whether. But in one sense, look, I think that we can only just be our authentic selves. And if they like it, they like it. And I think the years will be the teenage years. That'll be the
oof, I've heard things about those years. We're not quite there.
Right? Yeah, no.
We've got time.
Yeah. Let's breathe it out.
Let's come back.
Yeah.
We're going to revisit.
Another podcast on Children Post.
Yeah.
You said angels do exist. I want to hear. What are angels? How can we... For the person that's never heard, or even, you know, I think everyone's heard the word angel, but what does that look like? What is the experience of angels? What is the, what is that definition for you?
Oh, gosh. Do you know, I've actually never been asked this before.
Yes.
Yeah, first time. I've been on a few of these, but I've not been... Oh, sometimes I just avoid the subject.
That's because, cool. Because we can do that.
Because I think for me, I'm actually, if I'm honest, I'm still not completely sure. But I think it comes back to that feeling of you grow up being told that things are a certain way, so you can't quite connect with it, versus I feel there's a truth around angels, guides, whatever that is inside me. I'm not sure how to put it into words, but I feel that I'm supported on my journey. So I'll give you an example, which is quite tangible.
Okay.
So when I was going through that difficult stage of girl band splitting up, not having any money, I was also a big party head, and I was obviously doing it to escape, you know, life. So I was out every weekend, not sleeping Saturday nights, and just, God, feeling the effects the next day. And I was really in a sticky point, and sort of, money-wise, sort of not knowing how I was going to afford the next month's rent. This was before I decided to move home with my mum and dad. And I was out one day with my friend, and she said, she went into the news agents. She said, I'm going to get a scratch card. And I was never into them, but I thought, do you know what? I'm going to get one too. Why not try my luck? And actually, this is where it started with numbers. So around this time, it was ridiculous. And it was actually a joke between all my friends that every time I looked at the time, it was something 11. No joke. Every single time I was looking at the time, I was like, oh my God, it's something 11 again. And my friends were like, this is 11:16. Do you know what though? The last time I looked at your phone, it said 11:11. That was the last time I looked at it. And I was going to say something, but I thought,
you should have said it.
Oh, there we go. So it was, and I was not into spirituality, nothing like that, but it was almost like something just kept guiding me to look at the phone when it was saying something 11. And I even posted on Facebook and I said, guys, does anyone know what 11 means? And someone said, oh, it's the spiritual number. It means that like you're kind of being woken up in a way. Wow. And some like angels are trying to get your attention. And I was like, okay, because I wasn't into this at all.
Like,
okay,
whatever.
But it felt like I was kind of being asked to look at something. Anyway, got a scratch card and we went home that night and I looked at the time, 6:11. Kaylee, my friend, she said, oh, it's your time. You've got to do it now. So I scratched out the scratch card and I won £1,000.
Wow.
Who wins £1,000 on a scratch card? Me, I did. So that was my next month rent, plus, you know, a fun summer laid out for me, which was great. And then again, failed to get a job because I was partying too hard. And the next month came along and still had no money. And then I had some inheritance money from my grandma, who she passed away years ago. But my mum said, it's just kind of come about that you've got an extra couple of grand. Here you go. Mm. It's like, oh my God, how is all this stuff like happening? And I'm being supported when I'm not really, you know.
Externally putting the endeavour in.
Yeah. And then again, I was struggling a little bit. And I was trying to... build up my classes, dance classes that I was teaching as well at the side, but just really not in a good place, to be honest. And then I got a tax rebate for like 400 odd quid. And so thing after things kept happening and me seeing these 11 numbers. And I just started thinking something's going on here. Then decided to move home, started meditating. And it was almost like all of that was leading me to start doing that inner inquiry work. And since then, I can't really say more than I just feel that I'm being supported. And I know some people, like our friend, I'm sure you're friends with Kyle Gray as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, who we had on our podcast, and he's amazing and he's all about angels. And he told us a story where he saw angels and he works with them very closely. I'm not someone that sees them. I don't, get whispers in my ear or anything like that. It's more of a feeling that I'm
a presence of
another little story, which kind of, because sometimes you don't trust and you're like, am I just making this stuff up because I want to feel better? Mm-hmm. But then little things will happen to just confirm that it is my truth, not everyone's truth, but That's it is true for me. Mm-hmm. So one time I was doing a massive gig at the Design Museum. I'm not sure if I don't think you came along.
No.
The Design Museum, Adam was teaching a yoga class and I had to sing in Shavasana, which I was terrified about because that was the first time I'd sang after being in the girl band a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
Luckily everyone was lying down asleep, not asleep, but you know, lying down with their eyes closed. And I was so nervous. And I always do a little prayer to my angels, like, please support me. Please, like, give me a sign that you're here. And just before I started singing, I felt myself being filled with light. My ears were ringing and I got tingles all over. And I just, you know, where does that come from? It wasn't, I just felt like there was something there just guiding me. And I know people will be listening like, okay, what a load of rubbish. But for me, this is just my truth and I'm just sharing it. And it's... it works for me and it helps me on my journey.
Beautiful. I mean, it's something that I do. I mean, it sounds like prayer in one sense, but in another sense, see, like I've had a similar experience when just before I did a concert earlier in 2022 in Camden, I was standing outside and I could hear the room filling up. Mm-hmm. And I never get nervous, like rarely do. I get a little bit like, okay, how's this going to pan out? But I never get like shaky nervous. I never get really like, moved in one sense, but I was in that moment because I was thinking there's so many people that are expecting to be lifted and you know, brought to a higher consciousness. And so I just folded my palms and I just went internally. I think that inner world is such it's beautiful even if you don't understand it, like you were honest and said you don't understand, you've never seen them, you never heard the whispers of an angel, but you do feel there's an inner orientation, let's call it, that's pulling you towards something divine or something that's spiritual, an angel per se. Mm-hmm. And I had that same experience where I just prayed very sincerely. And I think there is something to be said, even if you're not someone that believes in God or believes in divinity, this feeling of humility, that humility is not about thinking less of yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I'm so crap, I'm so low. Mm-hmm. Humility, I've heard this definition, it really is, it's so poignant for me. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. So being less self-absorbed, you know, being less self-absorbed. And in that way, magical things are possible when we are less, it's all about me, baby. You know? When it's less about that and more about just tuning into the possibility of things happening that aren't in your control. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something beautiful about just tuning into that inner world and just acknowledging it's not all about my strength. You know, there's, okay, I've got strength. I've been gifted with something. You've been gifted with this beautiful ability to sing and to perform, to bring people to a spiritual space. But at the same time, like just by you sharing, like that you just went into an inner space before you were sharing and how that gave you so much strength. I think there's a beauty in humility.
Yeah, I love
and,
that.
It's something I'm trying to grow more into and think about more, but...
I guess that's like it's the ego, it's the fear ego. And divine and love separation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because Yeah, I think maybe there's a bit of a danger. And I know for me, when I, because I use my voice a lot in sound healing, because I think, like you said, and I have to kind of get out of the mindset of, oh, I'm showing off, because, you know, we are given gifts and they're not for us. They're gifts that we need to share to help make the world a better place.
It's more fulfilling when you share it.
Yeah, exactly. But then I, you know, I sit there and in my girl band voice is going, needs to sound good, needs to hit the note.
Sure.
You know, it's all ego stuff. So my battle is, like you, I need to drop into that space. It's not all about me and my voice. It's actually what has that got to offer other people and how can that connect them to the divine? You know, even if it doesn't sound good, if it's from a place of healing and good intention and from the heart, then you have to let go and trust that it's going to come through.
Yeah, this is that nuance between detail and substance. It's that, you know, the detail is, I need to sing really well. I need to perform really well. I need to look presentable. Yeah. I need to sound, whatever I say needs to sound presentable. Yeah. But then the substance behind that also shines through.
Yes.
And I think sometimes you get one or the other, like you can tell, it's, I mean, not that I'm saying this or this, but sometimes we can end up being really detail oriented and we forget the substance of what we're sharing and why we're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, I've met also spiritualists that are all about the substance, but then they're not really so detail oriented.
It's kind of grounding, isn't it, in a way? It's like the accessible earth.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes you human, and you do need a bit of that to an extent.
I think that a lot of spiritualists have forgotten that we need to be accessible and relevant, and the detail has to be there.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are focused really heavily on the detail, and then they forget that actually, maybe I should have some sort of grounding. I should have some substance as well. Like, that, you know, before I come onto a stage, before I perform for people, let me just go internal just for 2 moments, like what you said about going, what did you call it, the toilet?
Toilet top up.
Let me do a toilet top up, you know?
It's because I do some sort of energy work before I do sound healing every time, just to protect myself and, you know, always only allowing frequencies of love and light to enter, et cetera. And so if I've done that at home and then I've got into the car and someone's come up to me and they're like, oh, what are your bowls all about? I'm like, okay, so just go to the toilet and have a little top up and come
have
back to myself.
Up.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Mantra, something that's very dear to my heart, something that I know you're also interested in. You've kind of been associated with Dave Stringer. Maybe, I think you did a course with him.
Yeah, it's called Flight School. Went to Berlin and did mantra for the whole weekend. Which
was with Adam.
Amazing. With Adam, yeah.
Holy crap.
He led a kirtan and everything. How did you not know this? You have to talk to him about this.
Okay, I'm going to talk to Adam about this. Leading kirtan.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Okay.
I can tell you a funny story in a bit.
Tell me now. I want to hear it.
Okay. It really made me laugh at the time. So, you know, Adam is, he teaches his yoga, he's anatomy king, you know, he's all about the physical, and kirtan, I suppose, is, he loves it. And we experienced it for the first time together in Bulgaria, which was amazing, under the full moon on a floating stage. Dave Stringer was up with his band. You know, we were chanting. It was incredible. So we experienced it for the first time together, which was amazing. But he, you know, it's very outside of Adam's comfort zone to sing, I suppose, on a stage. You know, that's not something that he's done before.
Mm.
So we booked onto this flight school with Dave Stringer just for fun, really, because we both love Dave. We thought he was a great teacher. Adam really connected with him because he felt that he was less woo and actually quite grounded in what he does.
That.
Yeah, me too. So it's accessible for Adam. So the last day, we're all sat in a circle and Dave's on his harmonium. And the challenge, or the activity was, Dave said, right, I'm going to start a beat, or he was on a drum, sorry, I'm going to start a beat, and I'd love for someone to just start us off with a mantra, you know, based on everything that we've learned, because we did learn mantra over the weekend.
Of all people.
Just, you know, come up with something. So I was thinking, time to shine, come on, Holly, this is my thing, and Dave's doing the beat. And I'm like, okay, thinking of a mantra in my head, and I'm just about to go, and then next to me, Adam, I don't know what it was, but he just like sits up, comes to life, and starts like chanting this random mantra, and I've just looked at him like, oh my god, and he just started the whole thing, and then he like led a kirtan, and I was so proud of him, but it was hilarious at the time, but he did really well for it.
Just to say that, yeah, it's amazing that sound has kind of, see, what's been interesting for me is that sound has kind of been transformed in the last maybe decade, where people are accepting different world cultures.
Yeah.
And kirtan is, of course, associated with India and Indian and Vedic spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question was around whether you've ever, I don't know, shared mantras, or whether you have a connection with that kind of sound vibration, or has it only been maybe syllables, or I mean, I just want to hear from you about
mantra. That's a really good question. Mm. And it's kind of multi-layered, because I have to say I've got massive imposter syndrome around it, because obviously I'm not you know, from that background, and I've not been brought up with it, as I know so many people that teach it have been. Mm-hmm. But I love it. And, you know, the way that it makes me feel, and something that Dave always said was sometimes I don't even know what it means. I just sing it because the meaning is it connects me back to joy and something inside me. So that always stuck. And I thought, well, because there's kind of the schools of thought where I've shared mantra, and I love the Gayatri mantra. I love the Devi prayer, and I chant those, and I've tried to really make sure the pronunciation is on point, because I know that there's a big school of thought that pronunciation matters, and it's you know, if it's slightly off, it will change the meaning and the vibration in your body. Whereas I mean I don't know much about it at all, but there's a feeling inside me that says, but if you're singing it with the intention to help and to heal and from a place of love, does it matter completely? And I'd love to know your thoughts on that as well. But I do love it. I have shared it, but I'm at a sticky point right now because I'm feeling like, am I worthy of sharing this beautiful, you know, sound if I'm not really, I don't know much about it.
Yeah. I'm really glad you brought this up, because it's something that I've always wanted to share. And sorry to take the limelight off the Holy Hustler episode, but I saw something on Instagram recently which talked about pronunciation of mantras. And yes, there is definitely a case for pronouncing properly and for saying things in a way which is authentic to the tradition.
Yeah.
However, like we spoke about, it's principle versus detail. And I think that the principle always shines out much, much brighter than the detail. Mm. Like, for example, there's a story that's given in the Vedic literatures of someone who's illiterate. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting on the side of the road with the Bhagavad Gita, this ancient wisdom book. And he's illiterate, so he is he can't read the verses. But at the same time, just the few words that he does know bring so much joy to his heart. And everyone that's passing by sees that this person is experiencing something different. And so at the same time, those who are seeing that he's experiencing something different, there's also those naysayers that are like, he can't read anyway. Mm-hmm. What's the point? And one thing that I found beautiful is that, see, I'm born in a British Indian family. And I say British first because I was born here. I went to school here. My friends are, you know, British. I don't speak that much Hindi or Sanskrit. And yet, because of the color of my skin, people think that that's authentic. Mm-hmm. That I'm sharing Kirtan authentically. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Mm. I'm learning just as much as every single one of my Western white-bodied counterparts.
I love that.
And I think that what really is important with Kirtan and mantra and that sound healing is that it doesn't matter whether you're saying it right, whether you're saying it slightly off or on. Do you think that God really cares about the detail?
Oh, I love that.
You know, do you think God really cares? I don't think so. Mm. I think an all-loving God sees whether we're saying Ram or Krishna, or God, or Allah, whether they're saying Jehovah, whether they're saying divine, whether they're saying absolute, they're pointing in that direction. Mm-hmm. And I think personally, in this case, principle overrides detail. That's my personal feeling on it. And so I don't think that you need to worry about this cultural appropriation thing. I think so long as your heart is in the right place, then the mantra can be said in many different ways.
Oh, so that's so refreshing to hear. Yeah. Someone actually commented on one of my Instagram posts recently of me doing some sound healing and chanting Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu.
Beautiful.
And I think they said something like rubbish pronunciation. I was like, oh, and that's probably the point I stopped actually.
Yeah, with those people, I think it's genuinely a case of some people need love so much that they call for it in the most unloving ways.
Mm.
You know, and someone like that is just looking for validation, or maybe it's, you know, I'm making a generalization, maybe we should not say that. Who knows what their inner orientation, what they were actually trying to say was. But I think we shouldn't worry too much about it, you know. Like even, you know, for me, being a British person, I don't think I'm integrated into the British culture completely. Like I'm sure I do things so wrong. If I went round for tea at an English person's house, I'm sure I'm going to get something wrong. Does that mean they're going to blast me for it? No. It's just like,
yes,
I think we have to allow people to explore different cultures and traditions in a way which is non-judgmental. You're just human. It's not the end of the world, you know.
So true.
So
thank you for sharing.
That's our part of mantra. We're going to go into quick fire round. Are we ready? Unless, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, Radhika, I could go on for days.
We could do this
stuff.
I'm into it.
We'll have
We've got the time, no?
Round two, won't we? Start at some point.
Okay, let's go to quick fire round. Okay. You ready? Finger on the pulse.
Oh, God.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
Do you know what? I don't know why. It's a quote that's coming into my head, which is be yourself because everyone else is taken.
Already taken.
Is that Oscar Wilde?
I don't know. I can't remember.
That's just something that came to my head. So maybe someone needed to hear that. Be yourself. Beautiful. Yeah.
Because everyone else is already taken.
Yeah.
Something special about your relationship with Adam?
That we're different. I always say that we are very different, but similar in the ways that matter.
Mm.
We share our values. And actually, Adam and I, something that I guess I didn't appreciate so much at first, but now think it's actually what makes us really special, is that we communicate best in silence. There's like a deep love between us, and we can't really put it into words. And, you know, sometimes our conversations will sort of hit a dead end, and we're like, we're totally not on the same wavelength here, but the love underneath it is so strong that nothing else needs to be said.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So I appreciate that.
That's beautiful. Something people misunderstand about you?
Well, do you know what? When people first... I've had a couple of times when people first see me, they think I'm either going to be really sweet and shy or a bitch.
Mm.
So both of those are misunderstandings, because I'm not... I guess I'm quite sweet. I can be shy, but I'm definitely not a bitch. I could try and be a nice person.
Yeah. I'll be honest. You know, when I first saw your picture, I was like, wow, so much beauty that it could be one or the other.
Oh.
It could be that she's really kind. And then it's like double blessing. Or it could be that, you know, just externals are there. And you're someone that really exemplifies. I don't think you're so, maybe this is just a perception. I don't feel like you're a very self-absorbed person. You're quite a humble person, which is, it's nice to talk to humble people, I think.
It is.
So that's your inner beauty. And it's really, really wonderful to actually connect with you.
I probably was a bit self-absorbed at one point. We all
I'm sure we all are. But you can tell when it's overpowering.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Back to the something people misunderstand about all of us, I think.
Yeah.
If you could create one law that everyone in the world had to follow, what would it be?
Oh, if I could create a law. Do you know, I've always thought this is a bit of a mundane earthly one.
Mm.
But the other day I was thinking, okay, if I was prime minister, the first thing that I would do is change all of the car horns so that they're not these aggressive car horns and they're all different musical notes.
That would be amazing.
Because you know when you're at the traffic lights and, like, you know, you're just looking out the window at a bird or something, and then the lights go green, you get a massive beep behind you, and it's so aggressive, and the person behind you probably doesn't want to be aggressive, but imagine if it's just like a la 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 la, and then you're like, oh, thank you, and then there'd be a lot less anger on the roads. So
I think that'd be a really good idea.
That would be my law.
If I ever get to prime minister, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm sold. Thank you so much, Holly.
Thank you for
the conversation.
It was a pleasure.
It was, it felt too short, too brief. I feel we could have gone a lot deeper.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage all our listeners that if you felt there was something that connected with you that you want to find out more about, maybe it's sound healing, maybe it's angels, maybe it's your inner spiritual self, then please check out Holly Hustler. She's got a wonderful plethora of things online that you can connect with. And I'm just deeply blessed to have shared the space with you. And if you found there was something that you want to re-listen to, as always, feel the permission to re-listen to this episode. It's not that one episode means you've heard it, you can throw it in the bin. Re-listen to it. Maybe there's something that you need to listen to that maybe struck you, that you want to explore more in your spirituality. And with that, see you on the next episode of For Soul's Sake. Namaste. For Soul's Sake.